Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Welcome back to another week of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. You know, as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Meredith Cooper-Jones. Meredith, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good.
You know, usually I just switch to you for all the reviews, but I figured I'd do something a little bit different this time.
Yeah.
But listen, this week we're going to be doing a new segment, part of the podcast, where we're going to call it My First Implant. And we're going to bring on one of the attendees from our Digital Implant Continuum, our live patient treatment program for those of you that want to learn implants. And it's not necessarily a sales pitch of what we're doing. Now, certainly we want you to come to our program, but it's really about kind of diving into the mindset and the mind of what goes through one's mind and what fears are coming up and how do we overcome these as we kind of add implants. And especially true for you, those of you that are my generation of dentists in your 40s, you know, we didn't grow up in dental school even thinking implants were a possibility for us. So we want to talk to Dr. Lane Barker this week about that. But before we move over to Dr. Barker, let's turn it over to Meredith and give Meredith our sales pitch for the week.
You think that's all that I do around here?
Yes, okay. Yes, 100%. That's all you do. That and set up king-size beds.
Yeah, by myself.
Of course.
Well, speaking about putting together lots of beds, we have some exciting news at 3D Dentists. We have a 3D retreat house where our attendees can now stay Airbnb resort style for our courses. So we would love to have you attend, stay with our instructors, and enjoy lots of learning all weekend long. I think it's lots of fun.
You know, beyond the fun part, I think really what I think of the retreat as is a place for like-minded individuals to geek out about dentistry. You know, too often, so many of us that listen to podcasts that really want to take our practice to another level and stay up to date, we go to CE events. And, you know, we want to talk and interact, and there's not enough of that in our local area. So really what we're trying to do is amp up the game a little bit and give people a place to geek out and really kind of really just immerse into dentistry and being around good people. And there's so much that we talk about. You know, we always talk about so much about how much we learn outside of the class.
Yeah.
And so we're giving it to where basically the class is 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Just this past weekend, I mean, I like everyone talks about their wins, but they also talks about their losses. And it's just a safe place where everyone, they feel like they have support and they feel like they can share all that. So I'm excited for everyone.
It's more work for all of us, but yeah. I love it.
More king beds for me to put together and mattresses harassing.
Well, not everybody gets king beds. Some people get queens or
bunk beds.
Or bunk beds, the all in four room.
Yeah. So we're naming them. So there's a little bit more work, but we'll have a new training center and we're super excited to have you guys all here in Raleigh. But before we get started, I do have a Google review.
A Google review, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's new.
Yeah.
So if you want to, a 3D dentist, just like with your practices, we rely on Google as well to help build our business. So we've been asking for Google reviews. The podcast reviews are nice and they're helpful to get the podcast out there, but we really want to amp up our Google game. So if you don't mind leaving us a review for 3D dentists on Google, that would be phenomenal. So Meredith, what's our review this week?
Education at 3D Dentists is unmatched. I've taken several courses at their facility and it has truly transformed my practice to a point where I can work less and still grow my practice. The accountability and accessibility of the educators here is what makes it so valuable to be able to implement what was learned in the courses. Highly recommend.
Who's that from?
Thanks, Dr. Amy Connor.
Okay, Amy. Amy just writes nice things about me. I'm pretty sure you wrote that, Meredith, and signed her name.
No, I did not.
All right.
She truly thinks that, though.
No, Amy's phenomenal. Sure. We're so proud of Amy. Yeah.
Well, let's welcome Dr. Lane Barker.
Lane, what's up, my man?
Thank you. Not much. How about you guys?
Well, with that accent, let's get right into
where are you from?
I'm actually born and raised in Athens, Georgia. And
are you a bulldog?
Yes.
Yes, okay. There you go, your hat. Right, okay.
Yes. Went to school there at Georgia. And then went to dental school in Augusta at Medical College of Georgia.
Or Regents University.
Or whatever they're calling it
or
now.
Or Augusta
yes.
University.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, look, Lane, you're no spring chicken. You
nope.
have as much gray hair as me. I really want to talk to you about getting started with implants.
Mm-hmm.
Is implants new to you?
Yes, in the sense of doing them myself.
Okay.
I'm very familiar with the process. Over the years, it's something I'd always wanted to get into, but was just hesitant, more so from the financial, buying in to everything initially is what kind of...
Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Held you back.
Yeah.
Kind of held you back from the beginning.
So about 10 or 11 years ago, I got divorced.
Okay.
And so I had some personal obligations that I had to take care of. And I was in another practice with another dentist and was just kind of advised not to disrupt that cart.
Okay. So you even if you wanted to do it, you probably wouldn't have been given the opportunity to do it.
Yes, correct. Okay. We were both partners.
Okay.
In the sense.
Okay.
So it's not that I was an associate.
I got you.
But more from a financial standpoint, I was just advised to,
How much, at that time, what did you think starting with implants would cost?
Well, I knew the training was, the first obstacle.
Yeah.
And then, not knowing which, there's... lots of systems out there and buying in, you got to buy a kit, you got to buy the implants.
And they don't ever make it easy because they see you as fresh meat and they're like,
right.
Doc, you need 50 implants,
right.
Even though you've never placed one, let's get you 50.
Yes. So all of that combined, it was just kind of, it's something I wanted to do, so I got a Cerac 5 years ago.
Okay.
Which... kind of opened the door to Sirona and started learning about CBCT and the integration of it.
Okay.
And I was like, so I got a CBCT about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And then a year and a half ago, I moved and went out on my own.
Okay.
So I've kind of been getting the pieces of the puzzle together.
Okay.
And now jumping in together.
How important do you think the technology was in jumping in? Or was it really just moving to your own place?
Both.
Both.
I think having the technology, you know, to be able to, I mean, CBCT just blows me away.
Yeah.
What you can see on that.
Do you think you'd do implants without it?
I doubt it.
You doubt it. Okay. Mm-mm.
Knowing what you know now, mm-mm. would you do it without it?
Yeah.
And that was probably some of the
fear.
Fear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, and then just having it all there together and, you know, learning how they integrate together and trying to figure out which implant course I wanted to take. And
we'll get to that, okay. But I want, if you don't mind, I'd like to go on a little bit of a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you kind of went out on your own
mm-hmm.
about a year and a half, a couple of years ago. Start scratch, or did you buy a place? What'd you do? Or did you guys separate and you took your kind of your patients with you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We were, it was kind of a unique situation. We each owned our own practice within an umbrella name.
So you space shared, kind mm-hmm. of, okay.
Yeah, we shared space and staff. And so when I left, it kind of made that process easy.
Good.
Because what I had bought.
Did some of your team go with you?
Yes.
Some, okay.
Yes.
Great. Most? Mm-hmm.
Most.
Okay. Yes.
Who you wanted to go with you? That's a better question. Did you get a pick?
Well, I'm not trying to, you know, disparage anybody else, right. But I'm just trying to understand. All right, along those same lines, what was it like? How old are you, Lane?
I'll be 50 this year.
All right, so you're still young, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're old or anything. Okay, I know we have gray hairs and missing some
right.
hair.
But you'll still be working.
Yes.
Why wore a hat? What was it? I asked this because I'm 46.
Mm-hmm.
Am I 46? Yeah, I'm 40. I'm 40, no, I'm 45.
Yeah, you're 45.
I'm 45. I'm 45, and I think to myself, could I do what you just did? Could I start over or semi-start over at age 50? What goes through your mind? What's that like? I mean, I'm asking selfishly, not because I want it. I'm alone, so I wouldn't, you know, like separate out, but.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Knowing, especially the last 6 to 8 years, that was something I wanted to do was be, you know, I mean, coming out of dental school, the thought of being alone terrified me.
Right.
I was like, I felt like I needed, you know, an older
right.
dentist, partner, somebody to go to. But as it turns out, I mean, we didn't rely on each other in that right. sense as much as I thought we would.
Okay.
And so for the last 6 or 8 years, it's just been more, you know, this is something I want to do. I want to go out on my own, have my own place, because I felt like I was indirectly held back.
Okay.
Where yeah. I was, and that to develop and grow the practice I wanted to, I was going to have to be.
Are you happy separate. You did this?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I met you, you were in your, you were, I think
a couple years ago.
I think you were still with in your part in your space sharing partnership.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
You weren't on your own.
Correct.
And then, yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So looking back, you're happy. You're on your own.
Yes.
It's allowed you some freedom and flexibility, and you probably realized some things you didn't realize at the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, okay. So getting into implants has been a long-term goal for you for years.
Mm-hmm.
There's the fear. There's life circumstances. There's economic circumstances that have come in the way. Technology, to a certain degree, has opened our eyes about, I always say that technology gives us confidence. You know, almost like it's like getting a cape on underneath you where, you know, you can pick and choose what you do. And with surgical guides, it's super not that complicated to place implants. Now you're ready to dive in. And I think part of it is also is the fact that you're on your own. I mean, you got to grow that. You got to grow it now, right?
Right.
You don't really have much choice.
Right.
At this stage.
Sink
of the game.
Or swim.
Yeah, it is, right? Because you're taking on more overhead.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking on a lot of things, right?
Right.
And you went on your own to have the control and kind of do what you want. So talk to us about the process of what type of education you felt you needed, why you chose 3D dentists, and you don't have to say glowing things. You can say not so glowing things too, but
you can say how mean they were to you.
we are pretty tough on you.
They were
tough love.
Yeah. So you can tell them they gave you mean nicknames. I mean,
So Athens is about, you know, an hour outside of Atlanta.
Right.
I did a implant course there in Atlanta a couple years ago.
Okay.
A couple weekends.
Okay. So a couple weekends. So, okay.
But no live.
Okay. Typodonts, pig jaws, all that stuff.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
So that at least kind of opened the door to, and of course we learned freehand.
Right.
Not guided. I mean, we reviewed some guided, but, and then
it was probably a more surgical approach,
correct,
than a restorative GP approach,
correct. Okay. Yes, and then I you know, of course, like you said, I had been to a course of yours a few years ago, and then looked into the implant continuum,
okay,
and I really enjoy your style of.
tough
love.
But it comes from such a good place.
Yes, it does.
But here's what I love, and what I tell people, I don't give everybody the same tough love. You know, somehow...
Yeah. He tells us this, too. Same thing.
No, but it's beyond what you're talking about, Meredith. It's I try to give everybody tough love, but there are times where you can look at somebody and you can say, this guy is going to let me have a little fun with him.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And not take it offensively or personally, and to me that just opens me up to connect with. That's my method of connecting with people. I tell Meredith, I tell Michelle, I tell, you know, all my team members, if I'm not having fun and, you know, having a good back and forth, I'm not saying beating people down because that's not my goal,
right?
I tell them, you should probably be worried that your job's at stake. You know, in your case, your job's not at stake. You know, my job's at stake in, in theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so the live patient was probably what really mattered to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was invaluable.
Okay, so let's talk about the experience of the program.
Okay.
So what did you expect? Because I think you were in our second program, so you didn't have a lot of, there wasn't a lot of like chatter out there about what it is and all of that.
Right.
What did you expect to learn? What, if anything, was a surprise? What was valuable? Talk to us about that.
I didn't really know what to expect.
Blind faith.
I said, you're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun. And you're going to play some implants.
You know, the live surgery, I didn't know we'd be doing extractions the first time, first weekend, mostly.
So I did a poor job of laying.
No, it was, I mean, I knew we would, but I mean, when I initially said, this is what I want to do. I want to go to T-Bones and do this. It wasn't like, I knew exactly how it was going to be laid out. Right. But
I don't think we did either.
I knew, like when I came out of dental school, very similar to you, I despised extractions.
Yeah. I decided all surgery. They beat you down, man.
Yes. And I was like, this is not something I feel comfortable
doing. If you broke a tooth in dental school, you're like, oh, my God.
I quit.
No, it's not even I quit. They just make you. It's like, God, I failed.
I ended up coming out of dental school, went to, I forgot how I ran across this exactly, but we were still living in Augusta at the time, and I ended up going and working at a female state prison.
Oh.
And so the majority of what I did was extractions. Because that, you know, we didn't do root canals and anything like that. If it was compromised tooth, we took it out. Wow. Especially if it was an inmate that was going to be there for a while. So, so I worked there about a year and a half. Well, I say that because
I know there was.
There was one lady in particular that, you know, she was going to be getting out in a couple months, and number nine had some problems, so I did a root canal.
Okay.
You know, so with the hope that once she got out, she could
get it fixed up or whatever. Right. Yeah. Have the root canal redone.
Right, exactly. I wasn't going to say that, but but I worked there about a year and a half, and it's probably one of the best moves I ever made, because after that, I really enjoy extractions.
Okay.
I felt very uncomfortable doing laying flaps.
Okay.
I mean,
that was a surprise for me with every class, not just your guys', the class before it. And is I was surprised at how much I had forgotten at how much fear we have of laying a flap.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I'm so past that now.
Sure.
But I looking back, you know, 10 years ago, I was, I mean, I would lay a flap, and it would be like taking the papilla off. that would be my flap.
Yes.
And that's not a flap anymore, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the first weekend being extractions and getting in there and doing...
What about the blood and the PRF? Have you done any of that?
That was new to me.
Yeah. Was that interesting?
Very.
Yeah. You see how it makes the blood, the bone change?
Yes. And yeah. And I have to admit, that was not something I totally went all in on.
Sure, that's okay.
In my package, my bundle.
Yeah, but and I want to get into some of that.
That's something I would like to include.
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
what about the live implant part? Let me back up. Was there enough? And I'm asking this for an honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you leave comfortable with? Did you feel that you had enough extraction patients?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're comfortable to go back and do your grafting.
Yes.
And all of that.
Okay, yeah.
Good. All right.
I do. I think it was sufficient. I mean, especially in the time frame. I mean,
yeah, we had half a day, three quarters of a day.
Would have been.
Yeah. So let's move on to the implant part, the live, which is what you signed up for, right?
Right.
Is the live patient implants. Talk to us about that experience of doing the live patients.
So I was going to say between those two weekends.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
There was one thing that they asked was that you find five patients.
Correct.
Within your practice.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to go find those five patients, were you surprised how easy it was?
I already had a few
thinking in your head before you even left. Right.
Yeah. So I was able to include those, and then, I ran across a couple others in the meantime, so it worked out just fine.
Yeah, so what Meredith is talking about is something that's really important, is that I'm a big believer in implementation, and implementation doesn't happen. I think you got to hold people accountable, and you got to force them a little bit, and you got to push people and push people and push people, and I don't like to just to say, hey, we want you to get started. One of the things that we are really hold dear in this implant program is committing everybody to finding five patients and scheduling them the week after weekend two. So that way, what we do is we ask you to find probably five, six, seven patients so that we can maybe throw some away or discount some or say that these aren't good. And what we do is on weekend two, we have you bring the patient case, the impression, the CBCT data. And as a group, we will plan these cases, idealize them. We will design the guides, print the guides, and you will leave the program with five surgical guides for your patients, whether it's one or two units. I mean, if you bring it all on four, we're not going to do that, okay? But we're going to leave with it, and your commitment is that you've pre-scheduled these five patients for that week that you get back. And to me, it's the make or break week, because you get back and, well, let's just hear it from you.
Let's
tell me, what was that like? What was that like getting back and having those, you know, four or five of the five patients scheduled?
Well, I think that's a huge boost to going back and implementing it is, you know, having
those cases,
you encouraging that and us having the what we need to go back and do that.
It's not
right
just
then.
It's not just the encouraging you to do it. It's giving you everything,
right?
So that all you got to do is put your pants on and go do it, right?
Exactly.
And But listen, there is so much. It's like any time. It's like the first guy you kiss, a girl you kiss. There's so much fear going into that. That you just need to get through it, and I want to take away everything but what I can't control. I can't control you actually going to do it.
Sure.
But I can give you the guide. I can say, this is a great case. This is what to look for, what not to look for. Here's, you know, let's practice putting everything together. You know, we can give you everything that we need, and all you got to do is just get up and do it.
Yeah. And that was critical. I think the Monday I went back, I placed two, number 20 and 21, side by side. On my first patient.
Yeah, you were the first one. Yeah.
Because and another
creating that FOMO. Everybody was so you got everyone else so excited, because then they were like rushing for their lunch patient, you know? Couldn't get there fast enough.
Yeah, I think the group texts.
Yeah.
I enjoy it a lot, just hearing from everybody and
yeah, if we could just have it all be blue instead of
well, we are
now,
right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we pressured one guy into getting an iPhone, so now you have to have a CBCT, CERIC, and an iPhone. I'm just
Becca,
kidding.
You have to have a CBCT, a digital impression.
Yeah,
you don't have to have CERIC or Sirona stuff. We're agnostic.
Sure,
yeah. But yeah. But okay, so that was great.
Except for when it comes to phones.
Yeah, when it comes to phones, you got to have an iPhone. Okay,
we're just kidding.
Let's back up for a second, okay? I got a little ahead of myself. I apologize. What was the live patient experience like here at the office?
It was good. We, you know, doing the, I guess probably the most nervous thing I was about was the doing the PRF, drawing the blood. This is not.
It's not anything we do normally.
Exactly.
We stick needles in people all the time.
Right.
Just not in their
face. Not in the arms.
You could draw blood from the mouth, but not that big vein on the arm.
Exactly. So that was a little unnerving to me initially. But as far as placing the implants, I mean, pretty straightforward. I mean, we had mapped out everything and talked about the cases and reviewed them beforehand. You know, we had mentors that are there. Yeah. Chair side to kind of if, you know, if we do have a concern or making sure we're doing the right tooth. And
well, we are worried about that sometimes, especially in your operatory. But yeah, no, I'm messing. So one of the things that we do is we have a dedicated mentor in each operatory. Mm-hmm. So they're instructed to be absolutely helpful, but not to do things.
Sure.
Unless asked.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good people. I mean, and they're just everyday dentists, just like you and all of that. So that part's fine. Did you feel that you had enough experience to go back and get going?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How important was the guided part of all of this?
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you do all the planning on a computer and the guide is just.
Yeah.
So I just find, dropping in.
What I find, and I hope all the other all our competitors stay this way, is I find it amazing that more implant places aren't moving to a digital approach to this, because it's what the market is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's and I've never subscribed to this, well, you know, you got to beat your chest and do it freehanded. you know, to earn the right to do it guided. I'm like the opposite. I'm like, why would I not take the easy way?
Right.
And then, you know, and certainly there's a time where you need free-handed. A guide may not fit, you know, a drill may be too long, you know, any number of things may happen. But I think when you get enough reps in, you know, with the surgical part, the flap, all of that stuff, the drilling part becomes, you know, becomes a little bit easier as you do it. So I've always believed that. All right, so you decided that we were a good fit. You came in, you got your reps in, you got some live patients, you got some confidence. You know, we encourage you, and you were phenomenal at this part, is to have your five patients. We got you your guide. You got your five patients scheduled. Talk to us about now we're back. Now you're out of the Kool-Aid world, okay? You're out of, hey, I can do anything I want because, you know, I'm ready, rah, rah, rah. And then you get back to the office and it's, hey, I got two hygiene checks. I got a filling to do. I got all this other stuff. And what frustrates me as an educator is how people spend so much money and then don't always go back and do this stuff. And for me, I personally feel like a little bit of a failure when that does happen. So what allowed you to go back and be successful?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
I think that verdict's still out, but
well, I'll argue that you're being successful because you've placed 10 times more implants in the last 3 months than you did your entire career.
Sure.
So,
and you have more planned, cause, right? Because you're going to Sully's office, Rick's office.
Yes. Yeah. I don't feel like I have the staff on board yet.
Okay.
More in terms of kind of what you've been mentioning lately about just having scanners available in the hygiene rooms and things like that, which is kind of the direction I've been wanting to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of economic
parts
to that too, right?
Sure. And but you know, having them being able to scan, go ahead and review the case preliminarily to make sure it's
a good case.
Potentially a good case before I even come in.
Well, at least even if they don't know what they're doing, at least make
look
it ready
like
so that
I can come in and
Focus on that and not be like, all right, open it up, let's do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's still part of the process of, I think, getting on board with.
What did your team think when you got back and you guys actually did this?
They were excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so many times patients, well, I've always referred them out to the oral surgeons, periodontist, and always not every patient, but you know, a lot of them say, well, I don't want to see anybody else. Yeah. I want you to do it. And I'm like, I can't do that. Yeah. So to be able to keep it in house and, you know, that's encouraging to the staff too, to be able to not have to send the referrals out and,
All right, so let's go back to Monday morning.
Okay.
What were you feeling beforehand? Because you placed your two on number 20 and 21. That was your first case that you were doing.
Did you sleep that night?
Very little.
Why? Why? Why is that? Hey, listen, just so you know, I still wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning like clockwork when I have bigger. For me now, it's bigger cases, not onesie twosies. Mm-hmm. But like this last week, I had a half arch, or when I have, you know, a more complicated case. I literally, my team asked, did you wake up at 3 in the morning? Because that makes them feel good that I'm waking up nervous, because they know I'm mentally
thinking
prepared and, mm-hmm. and I'm getting in the game. You know, I'm getting in game mode.
Yeah. And I think that's. Am, you know, going over in your mind everything, am I missing something? Because it's still somewhat new to me. Mm-hmm. And even though we go through and kind of laundry list everything out of what we need and what needs to be handy when we get ready for surgery, did I miss something? And so it's just part of the
and
unknown.
How much time did you schedule for that?
2 hours.
2 hours. And more than enough time.
Sure.
And I ask that because that's an important aspect of this. Too often we go back and we're not prepared like we ask you to be prepared, right? Mm-hmm. And then you try to fit this in, and then you find an hour block. And can you do it in an hour? Sure. But there's as much fear for your team as there is for you. Mm-hmm. They the number of parts and pieces that are involved in this, mm-hmm. and just the setup, the tearing down of a separate handpiece, wheeling it in, plugging it in. You got to have enough time. It's not about how fast we can. You know, I get on myself or some of my other team members is that, yeah, it may take me an hour to do something, but that's not how long it takes on the schedule, because mm-hmm. there's the time leading up to it that the team's with the patient, the time when I walk out, the team's with the patient, the time of getting all the stuff. So it's more than just us, the dentist, that's involved in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were super nervous.
Yes.
That's okay. We're all super nervous.
Yeah.
What time was your patient schedule at?
What time?
Yeah. Like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, I think it was late morning.
Okay.
Probably about 11.
So how did you feel about 11 o'clock after you were done?
Good. I feel good. I mean, you know.
Relieved. Ready to take a nap.
And I posted it to our group text and got it done. And
everyone was cheering you on.
Yeah, so that was encouraging to be able to step back and, you know, see that I did do it. And
it's a sense of accomplishment.
Yes,
so
good, yes. Yeah.
I think you're minimizing it, man. I bet you your ass was grinning from ear to ear.
Probably so.
Okay. You were high-fiving people.
Trying to take everyone to lunch, calling off the rest of the day.
You're like, well, we're done. We're done. Cancel all the fillings.
I have thought that.
No more fillings today. We're done.
So I have seen on your Facebook or Instagram or something, the way your team has everything organized, all the parts and pieces. You were telling me all the systems and laundry lists. And mm-hmm. I know your wife had a lot to do with this. But what did that take? Did she have that ready by, has that been a work in process?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
because remember, we had lists for the live patients.
So all my implant parts, I had it still in the box they came in from the company initially.
Yeah.
And I kept them there because I was
you
like,
don't want to lose them?
Yeah.
Right.
Put it back in the box. Put it back in the box.
That stuff's expensive.
It is. And I had in my mind what I wanted to
do.
You know, put the implants
and labeled and
healing abutments and all that. So it just took a little while to kind of get all that. Like I wanted and organized and
And but now that you have it all organized and Christy did that, how much easier is that for your team to be able to just know where everything is?
Yeah, right? It's going to be, well, like we've just kind of finished up getting that organized.
Can we get a picture of that so we can post it with the show notes?
Sure.
Yeah, I think because I want a copy.
It looks really good.
Because I got so many parts and pieces, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. That was, it stayed in the box a while until we got all that ready. And then once we did, I don't think I've got one. Actually, I have an implant when we go back Monday.
Good for you.
So,
I'm playing this down.
I'm doing.
He's like, I've done okay.
Well, I, you know, you,
You've 10X'd it. Isn't that the new thing? Everything's 10X. Yeah.
You advised us to, you know, use a third party lab. Yeah. So I sent it off and got the case back, and I'm just got to, we're in transition with assistants right now. Sure. So I'm still kind of handling, making sure all the parts are there.
And by the way,
beginning, I think that's normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm familiar with it.
It's not just normal. Yeah. It's important.
Because
your team will typically not ever be more detail-oriented or concerned than you are. Mm-hmm. So if you're not detail-oriented and concerned, they're not going to be as detail-oriented and concerned. Yeah. I want to step back for a second because I think it's an important thing to talk about. And I also want to clarify in case people, for the people that are listening, I firmly believe that we should move towards planning our own cases and printing or milling our own guides. Mm-hmm. But I also firmly believe that when you're getting started, it's the last thing you need to worry about.
Sure.
Because it's enough stuff to pick out all the parts and pieces, to get the cases, to get your team on board, to worry about all this new stuff and scheduling. The last thing you need to deal with is planning implants and softwares that most of us aren't comfortable using. So what Lane's talking about is that we teach you guys how to plan, mm-hmm. but we can't spend enough time to make you guys great planners. We just can't. It's not what we're there for. It's a component of what we teach. But I'm a big believer in work with your lab. You know, whether it's the manufacturer lab in your case or mm-hmm. if it's a local lab or a national lab. And they're experts at this. And for a few $100, they will make it super easy. So talk to us about that process. So you're using Vulcan right now?
Yes.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you're using Vulcan from BioHorizons to make a guide. So what's the fee on that typically? Like $300?
$340, I think.
After taxes and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's about $350.
Right.
And for that $350, how does it work? What do they do? What do you do?
So I send them the .com.
Okay.
CBCT, you upload it on their website. And then CEREC, I just send it through Connect.
Okay.
So they have the SSI file. And you go through and put the patient information and what you're wanting.
Okay.
And probably within 24, 48 hours, you hear back from them.
Yeah.
And the case is designed, and you review it, approve it. And, like, I think I had the guide back within the week.
Yeah.
From when I sent it. Yeah.
That's so listen, but I know what's happening. Some dentists is listening to this and they're going, "Well, I can print my own guide for $3." Like, sure, your material costs us $3, but mm-hmm. there's time involved in that, mm-hmm. right? And to me, what's more important, that's what's more valuable even than the time and the material, it's we're talking about a $3,500 procedure. Just get them done.
Yeah.
You know, just get it done. Get it that first 3, 4 months, 6 months after the class is so important because it reinforces with your team how serious you are about this. Mm-hmm. And just get started. You know, get whatever barrier it takes to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Just get started. You know, and I commend you for not getting stuck into, well, I can plan my own and print my own. And, you know, we'll spend so much time never getting around to it. And or it may not be perfect, you know. So I'm glad that you're doing that.
Yeah. And, you know, I purchased a printer last year, but mm-hmm. hadn't really dove into it yet. Right. So
Until this weekend.
Yeah. And came up and took the 3D printing class.
My kids really appreciate you, Lane.
I know.
They want to thank you. My kids' private school thanks you. I'm not even sure I work for myself. Well, I'm pretty sure it worked to pay for all that stuff.
He doubled this weekend up and brought his 16-year-old for her birthday. Yeah. She brought some friends. So
such a good dad. It's crazy. All right, so we've got started. We've talked about things. Let's talk about one thing I'm seeing a lot of is people take the education, they got the technology, they're ready, and then they get back and then they get all confused about, they get all dentist about what system to get. You know, and they say, well, you know, I can go with XYZ online company and it'll be X. You know, I can get this kit from here and I can use it with this and then get that. And there's nothing wrong with all of that stuff other than it's a barrier to getting started. Mm-hmm. So, and you made mention that you didn't buy all in on PRF and maybe not even the piezo surgery unit.
Right.
So talk to us about what did you purchase? What did you go through mentally to say, hey, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, this is what I'm not ready for? And talk to us about that.
Well, I think I kind of just went through and got the for sure what I needed.
Right. That's what I want. In your opinion, after getting started, what is it that you needed?
Yeah. The rep that was there mm-hmm. had put together a couple of proposals.
Right.
And as far as, you know, what implant specific size and things like that, I had no idea. But, you know, they have a better idea and appreciation. But a guided kit mm-hmm. and then
a number of screws.
Yes. Okay. And, you know, healing abutments and implants. And I did lay off on the
PRF.
PRF.
Yeah.
And also the Austell for the time being.
No problem.
But that's, I think the Austell's what I'll probably be getting next. Good. And then the PRF.
And so
it's just a.
And as a side note, why the ISQ Austell versus PRF?
Next, you mean?
Yeah, next.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I can do. I mean, the PRF is definitely a game changer, but it's as necessary as the ISQ.
And there's no right or wrong answer on this, by the way. The reason I'm asking is I just want people that are listening to understand you don't have to buy everything.
Yeah.
And I want to, and I'm asking very honestly, we didn't make you leave thinking you needed to buy everything.
No.
I want, because I'm a big believer, you just need what it takes to get started.
Yes.
You know what you need to do? You need to sell a sinus lift, then go buy whatever instrument you need. That stuff will show up in 2 days.
Yeah.
There's very little in dentistry now that we can't literally get in 2 or 3 days mm-hmm. when we sell the case. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm, you know, and I'm like, listen, it's going to cost you $50 more for the implants. Just buy $50 more for the implants and don't buy 50 of them. Don't try to save $1,000 and end up with $10,000 worth of stuff that you're not going to
use.
It doesn't make any sense. So I'm a big believer in just, you know, there is a number. It's like, don't buy less than 10 or 15 or whatever the number. I mean, believe in yourself. Number one, you need at least 5 or 6 because we've committed you to, we've committed you to placing that many,
right.
You know, the week you get back. But, yeah, I want people to understand that you don't have to buy everything. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, you don't have to buy
anything.
The company that support. You have to buy something if you want to be serious. But
I mean, from that company.
Course, right.
Yeah, you don't have to buy anything by Horizons. That's okay. Right. You know, they're a great company. They support us. I think they have great prices, and they're a good general dentist implant company, mm-hmm. and they have a broad range of products, mm-hmm. and they provide implant planning services, and they provide, you know, abutment creation. They provide a lot of stuff that's good,
yeah.
But they're not the cheapest in town, and that's okay. I mean, I think that's fine. So what would you tell other people that want to place implants? What has it meant to your practice economically? What has it meant to you egotistically? You know, all of those things.
Economically, I think the potential is probably beyond my comprehension right now. I mean, you know, it's
you're probably still in the phase where you haven't earned back what you spent.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, the class is what, 15 grand, Meredith?
Not even.
Something. We should be charging 15.
Yeah.
go with that.
Okay. Mine was 20. What are you talking about?
Exactly. You better ask Meredith for a discount. She's pocketing some of that. And then what do you think you spent in startup costs? 15, 16, 20? I don't know what the numbers are these days.
Probably 12, 14.
Okay. So it's about a $30,000 game to get into implant. Cost of travel, all of that stuff,
right.
The course, yes. You know, enough to get by. It's if you're thinking about getting to implant dentistry, it's a $30,000 buy-in.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you expected?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my argument's going to be you're close to getting your money back.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
But there's an overhead of doing dentistry. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Okay. So to me, it's not just revenue that pays that off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because there's a cost of doing business. But I mean, within 3 or 4 months...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's not, and then this is a lifelong, it's a lifelong product that you can provide
service.
For your service and provide for your patients, you know?
Exactly.
And frankly speaking, you're just in the infancy of what you're able to do. You're not doing sinus lift cases. You're not doing cases that need lateral grafting. You're not necessarily doing half arch cases. You're not necessarily doing overdenture cases.
Right.
You know, there's, see, the one thing about, I tell people about implants that I didn't understand was that it's not the one unit implant. It's that's the gateway drug into the two unit implant or the four unit implant. Mm-hmm. And then it just keeps going and going and going. It's pretty amazing. People have built implant only practices. I'm not an advocate of that necessarily, but you're just scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about this. Is there a shortage of potential patients in your practice for this?
I was going to say
No.
I mean, they want you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. How are you making it affordable for your patients? How are you getting them to say yes?
We're doing some payment plans.
Okay.
That's something Christy's been helping out with.
Good.
We're also in the process of have a membership plan.
Okay.
Just in general.
Sure.
For those that don't have insurance to help.
I can tell you in our office, Dory's selling the Raleigh Dental Arts Smile Club.
Yeah, our front office is, she's selling it away.
Funny story. A good friend of mine, he owns the kebab place that we had yesterday.
Okay. For lunch. Mm-hmm.
And so he's a good friend. We take care of him at the office, all of that. He came in, and Dory has never met him before. And he came in, and he doesn't have insurance. And she comes in, and she goes, we don't see that you have any insurance. Do you have any insurance? He goes, I'm on the T-Bone insurance plan because, he's on my plan, right? And she goes, okay. She goes, would you be interested in our smile club? And I'm waiting for the day that my dad or mom walks in and she offers my parents the smile
club. This is our new front office and she is just selling this new, we have our new,
we have a membership plan.
Program to just everyone. And in September, we're setting our goals for 2021. And, mm-hmm. She said she wanted to have 30 by the end of the year. And T-Bone was like, oh, no, we're going to have like 5. No way. And she did it.
Good for her.
Yeah. So it's anyway, I digress. Yeah. So back to the affordability. How are you getting patients to say yes? So you're making it affordable. I'm assuming you're taking CBCTs on patients.
Yes.
When they're missing a tooth, you're virtually planning it right in the hygiene chair. You're showing them what's possible, and you're giving people a chance to say yes.
That's where I want to get better, more.
Yeah. How can we help you with that? What's holding you guys back from doing more of that?
Just getting staff.
All right. So let me back up for a second mm-hmm. here. Okay. So let me go through my checklist. Mm-hmm. Do you take CBCT on most patients that come to your practice?
No.
Okay. Great.
No.
So first step, so we're going to walk through all the steps, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm a believer in 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equals a bazillion,
mm-hmm.
okay? So what you're saying is we keep going to the team members, okay? But they're one of the bazillion, they're one of the 1 + 1 + 1, mm-hmm. okay? So let's walk through some of these, okay? Are you taking co-memes on close to every patient? And the answer needs to be yes.
Sure.
Okay. So one of the things that you can do to make that easier is encourage and just take cone beams on every, quote unquote, every patient.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's the first thing I look at. Okay. The second thing is, do you have the implant planning software in every operatory?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So that's the second thing I look at is, hey, we got to have the software so that you can pull it up because yep. we're not wheeling things around.
Right.
And I absolutely despise the whole, let me go to my office and look at it and come back mm-hmm. because that's, most people try to get to 10,000 steps. I'm trying to stay below 1,000 steps each day, okay?
I'm with you.
So I'm going to stay below 1,000 steps.
If he goes to his office, he's probably not coming back.
I'm not coming back. Okay? You're wheeling me back, okay? So we're taking CBCTs, which you got to do better at that, mm-hmm. okay? You've got operatories that are capable of doing this, okay?
Yes.
The next thing is we need to work on a team success path,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's what you've been focused on, but we got a little bit to do on the front end there, okay? Our team success path would be, do they know which software and how to turn it on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in your case, I think you're using Sodexis.
Sodexis.
Great, so do they know how to start Sodexis?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, great, mm-hmm. wonderful. Okay, you'd be surprised.
Right.
Okay, do they know how to start Galaxis within Sodexis?
No.
Okay, great. So now that's the next on my list is, hey, because Sodexo just opens up the file. Mm-hmm. Now you got to open up Glaxis to actually do the implant planning.
Correct.
So I just want, so my, to me, success would be, can I walk into the room and just have the implant planning software up? Mm-hmm. Because then you're ready to work. Instead of having to hold, because it takes a minute or two to open that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's annoying, and nobody wants to look dumb in front of patients. Okay. Right. Then, success path number part of that, the third step of the team training would be, do they know how to put an implant in any site?
Space.
In the space. Upside down, sideways, I don't care. Do they know how to pick the implant and put it in the spot? And the answer is probably no to that right now, right?
Correct.
So once we teach them how to start Sodexis, which they've got, now we got to teach them how to start Glaxis, okay, so they can start the implant planning software. The next thing we need to do is teach them to put any implant.
Drag and drop.
And I don't care what size it is, what length it is, what brand it is. I don't care about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go there, okay? Because oftentimes what happens is we get stuck on trying to teach them A to Z, and I just want them to do A. I call it boiling them slowly. I want them to do A, B, C, D, and we'll eventually get to Z, and they'll never have known that they learned 26 things because you'll just do it one by one by one. Mm-hmm. So once I teach them how to just put a implant in that area, now I want to teach them what implant I want to put in. Mm-hmm. Okay, and for me, I make it simple for my team. I go, if you're planning a molar, stick a 4.6 millimeter implant in there. If you're planning a premolar, stick a 4.2 millimeter implant in there. If you're planning an anterior, stick a 3.8 millimeter implant in there from the BioHorizon sizes, okay?
Right.
And just put that in and just make them all 10.5 millimeters long.
Yeah.
So that way when I walk in, they've got the right size. And then the next step beyond that is I teach them how to tilt and move the implant and kind of get it centered between the roots, centered between the bone. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I'm already in there. Okay.
Yeah.
So I look at everything as a success path of doing that. And then for me, where I've gotten with my team now is would you say that almost everybody can at least put the implant in?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we're at a point where they may not know which implant that not all of them know which implant they're putting in, but they at least get the implant in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the patients, by the way, are like, oh my gosh, if she can do that, what can he do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or they have no idea. They don't even know the x-ray. They're like, wow. When they see the hygienist or the assistant put an implant up there, they're just amazed at the technology. And they're like, everyone here knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
They have no clue.
And they're just impressed. You could put a baseball bat in there.
Right.
And,
that's
and
what I mean.
Plant it around. You could put like a molar this big in there. They wouldn't know the difference, right?
But they're impressed.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that we've talked on, and this is what we focused on the last few months, and it's paid dividends for me, is now we're teaching everybody that when you do an implant plan, and if the patient doesn't say no, that means we need a digital impression. Okay, so I want to repeat that. If we plan out an implant for a person and they don't say no, I need a digital impression.
Sure.
I didn't say if they say yes, because there's a difference. So it's not if they say yes, I need a digital impression. If they don't say no, I need a digital impression. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reason I want that is because then the next patient visit can be what? Placement. I can do all my planning. Mm-hmm. We can do all our financial arrangements virtually if we needed to, you know, all of those things. So what I'm trying to get the success path to is getting them to help the patient say yes and getting them to get everything for me so that way the patient's next visit is placement. Mm-hmm. I'm not proud of saying this, but based on, you know, I'm only in the office 3 days a week, 3 weeks a month, okay? Mm-hmm. So there are many patients that I meet the first time is the day I'm placing their implant. Okay, and that I'm not proud of saying that, but I'm also I am proud of saying that, right? Yeah. Because we've got things in place over time to where we make it to where even if they don't know what they're doing, I'm like, listen, plan it wrong, say yes when we can't do it, just get me the info. Mm-hmm. So that way when I can do it, I hate bringing people back.
Yeah. But they've seen another doctor in the office and he's been able to plan it after.
Then it's not like these things that, you know. And I'm doing it from here. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it from anywhere. I just log in, remote in, log me in, or whatever we're using. Splashtop, I think, is what we're using. Mm-hmm. And able to do that. So I've kind of laid out the success path to get your team on board.
Okay.
So the only other thing I would coach you on is we need to just take more CBCTs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because probably one of the things that's happening is that you're selectively taking CBCTs. And then by the time you ask for it, it's a pain for them to go get it.
Yeah.
Because they got to get the patient up. They got to take the stupid napkin off. They got to go to the CBCT machine.
Someone else is using it. Mm-hmm.
They got to put the patient through it. And then no matter what machine, what computers you have, it's 5 minutes, mm-hmm. 6 minutes, 7 minutes. By the time they do get the patient up, go there, take the x-ray, sit back down, have the stupid thing process and all of that, it's 7 minutes, 8 minutes.
Yep.
And then you're nowhere to be found.
Right.
Okay. So that's why I'm an advocate of taking the CBCT on, quote unquote, everyone on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, that part's out. Have the software in every room, mm-hmm. so that part's out. And then now we're dealing with the human being component of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the training part of that is don't try to train them A to Z. Train them in baby steps.
Baby steps, yeah.
Boil them slowly, mm-hmm. you know. And the next thing you know, and some people, like, you know, Megan, my hygienist, is at a point where basically I walk in and she'll tell me this is not an immediate case. You know, she's at that stage where we're like looking at molars. She's like, she's probably, you know, she's always saying, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, I know this one's not an immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or she's like, yeah, that's a maybe. Or this one, I'm pretty positive it is one. So we're getting to that stage with different ones. And then at least everybody's at a stage where they'll get me the intraoral scan
mm-hmm.
and the CBCT and have it pre-planned. So that way my job is that much easier.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the success path on getting more to say yes, but you got to get at bats on that.
Right.
We went on a tangent there. I apologize.
That was good, though.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are in that place, too.
Yeah. And then the affordability and all that, then that comes into place
mm-hmm.
because affordability.
Same kind of thing. Yeah, moving slowly mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
Getting it into place.
Yeah. You know, so. I remember I went to my first sedation program. This was 2001, 2002 is Dallas, Texas. It was provided by Docs. There are 400 some dentists in the room. And I was like, holy smokes. It's you know, and they make it, and this is not a knock on Docs. I just took their IV sedation mm-hmm. course. I love those guys. Even though we compete with them on the oral sedation side with Brian McHugh's program.
Yeah.
But my point is
which I also took.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great too, right?
Yes.
You're going back and you're doing sedations, right?
Yes. Yes, we are.
What's that like?
It's good. We probably do a few a quarter. I mean, it's great. Not something right. a bunch.
I bet you'll start doing more now that you're doing it.
So let me back up because you're either being too humble or you're being too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both.
Okay. All right. We're probably only doing two or three a quarter. How many were you doing before?
Zero.
Zero.
Yes.
Okay. So you're 2 or 3x.
Yes.
All right. So we're talking about a year ago, right?
Yeah. Yes. Maybe 2 years ago. 2 years
year,
ago.
Year or two. Come on. Mm-hmm. All right. So let me give you some advice on the sedation part.
Okay.
We don't just wait for patients to ask for sedation.
Mm-hmm.
I tell patients which cases we're going to sedate them on. Okay.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll just say, I'm not going to charge you for it. Okay. I might be like, Lane, I'll tell you what, we're going to do all this work and I encourage you to get sedation. I'm not even going to charge you for it. This is a case you got to get sedated on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I want them to be sedated because I know it's gonna be better for me.
Sure.
Selfishly, right? So I'll encourage you to use sedation as a tool for yourself because what'll happen there is you'll have more patients that get sedated, more people will talk about it, your team will get more comfortable with it, the more they'll talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and then all of those things. And then I'll also tell you, I don't know if you've been through the sales funnel with me, but I'll encourage you that to set a goal that every month I need to sedate 4 people. Or 3 people, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to write that number big on a wall somewhere and then have check marks beside it. And there's got to be a little carrot for your team. Maybe it's a spa day. Maybe it's, you know, some toes or nails. They can get those long nails like this or something.
Yeah.
Well, what is that hair thing you guys are talking about, Michelle?
Balayage.
Balayage? Or balayage or whatever the heck that is. I don't know what that is. That might be more expensive.
That's getting your hair colored, yeah.
Whatever, okay, but not for me. You know, some carrot there. And, and it's amazing.
Because those will be bigger cases.
Yeah.
Naturally, and most of the time.
Absolutely. And I'm a big believer if you write it on the wall, You tell people it's important. You say, hey, listen, if it's so important to me, if we get this, I'm going to get you this. I'm not a big believer in money goals, money financial rewards always. Mm-hmm. There's a component of that in our practice, but I'm a big believer in team events.
You have to do it together. If you can't come, you don't get it.
Here's the day. We're going to the nail salon.
Right.
No rain checks.
Yeah.
We're going, if you want to make it great.
It's really not a reward. It's really a team bonding experience.
Yeah, that's a component.
It's a double
of it.
Thing, you know.
Yeah. So I would tell you that I want you to do more sedations. So I want you to make it a 3 times per month. You got to get your number right, mm-hmm. and you got to make it big and bold, written down, and have the check marks next to it. Have the picture of the spa. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if you put that up, you'll get it done, and it's so worth. How many team members you got?
Six.
Six. It's what is the nail thing these days? 30 bucks?
$40.
Yeah. We'll get the cheap version. Okay, they can pay for the upgrades.
No gel.
they can pay for the upgrades.
$40.
So you'll spend $250
sure.
to get 3 or 4 sedations a month. It's totally worth it, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you're bonding with your team.
Right.
Which I know you already do, right. But you're getting them to bond with each other too. So there's a lot of benefits in some of those things. So yeah. Anything else, Mayor Bear?
Not that I can think
Michelle,
of.
Michelle, can you think
of
anything? Lane, thank you so much. I know you were nervous.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I was.
Is this your first podcast experience?
Yes.
Well, thank you for being on.
No, it shouldn't be a last, man.
Maybe we'll follow up with you in 6-8 months and see how you're doing with everything because you have the sleep course come in. So, you know, you're upgrading and putting in a lot of new things in your practice, and we'll see how the team... you know, takes off with everything.
Okay.
I want to talk about one last thing.
Okay.
Okay. It's a little bit of a pitch here. Okay. So you finished your class in October, correct?
Yes.
All right. So that's been, 4 months now?
Mm-hmm.
Do we still communicate with each other?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm so proud of the community component of what we do. We try to communicate. We try to make it easy for us. We try to make it in a place that's easy for all of us. But we don't stop when the class ends. I mean, that's just not how we are. Our goal is to communicate. You can send us cases. You can say, hey, what you see it like Shivy the other day posted one. Hey, what do you think about this? And somebody was
stuck on their software or something.
Yeah, you know, little things, right? Yeah.
And we have the group text, which is nice, but like I've had one or two little hiccups come on that I didn't really feel like was group text worthy. Sure.
It probably is, but comfort level, just send it directly.
Yeah, but I mean, I felt totally comfortable texting you and just asking you something real quick,
I got to give a
mentors.
Big, I got to give a big shout out to Rick. I mean, this is above and beyond, okay? Like, you've got a case, and we're so committed to you doing your first sinus lift. Is that what it is?
No, it's actually number 8.
Okay, your first
immediate.
Your first anterior immediate.
Yes.
Right? So that's a scary. That's a scary case, right?
Right.
So I remember growing up.
This was only a few years ago. Getting started is what you mean.
I remember getting started growing up in the implant world. That if I didn't have Uday, my oral surgeon, to be able to do what you're doing with Rick at, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be where I'm at.
So.
You know, I would just take my patient. I just call Uday and say, hey, I got
you would just refer it to him.
I was going to refer to him.
Yeah.
Right. And he'd say, almost like Rick said in this case, mm-hmm. ended up doing, is I normally refer to it. He's like, why are you referring me this case?
Yeah, you can do it.
He's like, you can do it. I'm like, I don't know. He goes, all right, here's what you do. You come over with the patient. Mm-hmm. I'll assist you. You do it. And then you don't have to refer this to me. But I'm always here for you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's what happened with you. You have a number 8, extraction, immediate placement, probably an immediate temp or something like that.
Exactly.
All the things that just, like, listen, you're just getting started, right? That's not the one you want to do alone.
Right.
And so you're going to Rick's office, one of our mentors, Rick Sullivan, and you guys are doing it together.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's mm-hmm. See, to me, that's what we're about. It's the community. It's the constant support. It's the, hey, let's make you successful. And I just, you know, I hope this retreat just adds on to that connection,
uh-huh.
the ability to stay together and geek out together and talk about things and just have, dentistry needs a place where the private practitioner can thrive. There's so many things where it's all about multi-location business, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But
the majority of us are solo dentists, you know, or one or two dentists in a single location. You know, we need a place for single location dentistry, and that's what we want to be. We want to be a place where it's not bad to be not the most profitable dentist. Yep. You know, it's not bad to be not the the dentist with 10 locations or on your way to 10 locations. I want to be the lifestyle dentist. You know, that's what I think I've built in my own practice. It's a practice that fits my lifestyle. It helps me not have to work sometimes, but I still got to work sometimes, and helps me focus on doing more of the dentistry I like. And there's lots of little steps to go with that. And
with so the Killer Smile Club.
Yeah, with the RDA Smile Club. With oh, that's all, that is only happening because Dory is relentless about it. She's probably good. She missed the whole week because she was sick.
She's probably kicking herself that she missed some Smile Club like, opportunities.
Oh my God, I'm a week behind on my Smile Club goal for the year. Lane, thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you for
being a
supporter
and a good fan. And,
thank you.
Thank you for all that you do for your community and your team members. And don't settle for anything less than what you deserve, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And your friendship with us. We appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you both. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week on the T-Bone Speaks podcast, where God knows what we'll be talking about, because we are not pre-planning our episodes like we're supposed to, Michelle. Okay, but we're having a good time. And you know what? We're going to make Michelle come on. In fact,
maybe we'll be live.
You know what?
We'll
gonna,
do Ortho.
We're going to bring Michelle on. We're going to talk about taking over Ortho and go and building it back up to what it was. Okay. That will be the next podcast episode after Lane. All right. You in? All right. Perfect. All right. Peace out, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.